Today, all across our America, we're celebrating the anniversary of the birth of our nation, the greatest free nation in the history of all mankind, America. And interestingly enough, lest you think our activities today are somehow new and different, the truth is this. Our celebration today is not that much different than that first freedom celebration all those years ago. Imagine the scene. In 1776, America was a nation possessed and controlled by England. We were not a free people. So, as the news of the signing of this Declaration of Independence hit the streets, the American colonists were delirious with joy. There was cheering and waving and singing, the ringing of church bells. One of the signers, John Adams, just that day before had written a letter to his wife, Abigail. He told her of their plan to vote on that July the 4th. He told her, "I am apt to believe that this day will be a great celebration, not just now, today, but that it will be celebrated by succeeding generations as this great anniversary festival." Wow, what a statement, because here we are today doing just that. Celebrating feels good, doesn't it? But more than just celebrating was going on that July the 4th, 1776. As the people outside the hall were in celebration, what was going on inside the hall? What were the 56 delegates doing? The scene there was much different. They were not celebrating. They were quiet and somber. Reports tell us that some wept openly, others bowed their heads and prayed. Why? They had just set into motion an almost impossible task for our nation. Quite a sobering thought. But a much more sobering thought was this. Each of them, by passing that Declaration of Independence, they had actually committed an act of treason against England. And King George III had told all in America, "Try anything to break away from England and I will crush you." And the king's words were not just shallow threats, he meant it. So here were these 56 men, these signers of this Declaration of America's Independence from England, Thomas Jefferson, Patrick Henry, Benjamin Franklin, all of these 56 signers, feeling the weight of their decision and knowing that they are now traitors. They have committed treason by their action, and the penalty for treason was death by hanging. Wow. Now, if that weight was so heavy, if the price to pay was so high, why did they do it? Why would they risk it all? One word, freedom. They wanted to be free. But just what is freedom? What should it mean to us today? Ronald Reagan said it this way, "Freedom is the recognition that no single person, no single authority or government has a monopoly on truth, but that every one of us put on this earth has been put here for a reason, and each of us has something to offer." President Franklin Roosevelt said in the middle of our horrible World War II, he said, "We look forward to a world founded upon four essential human freedoms. The first, freedom of speech and expression. The second, freedom of every person to worship God in his or her own way. The third, freedom from want. The fourth, freedom from fear." And we have all of these, today in our America. And I thank God for my freedom. But here's the truth, the sad truth. Many today in America take this very special gift of freedom, our gift of freedom, for granted. Why is that? Well, I believe one big reason is because we've forgotten just how much has been paid to give us our freedom. And more importantly, most of us in America today have paid nothing for our freedom. But our founding fathers did pay a great price. And for their signing, many of the 56 delegates did die. But it didn't end there. Since those first shots were fired in 1776 by our first patriots seeking freedom, since that day, literally millions upon millions of brave American patriots have fought to keep our freedom. And I thank God for them. And speaking of God, let us never allow ourselves to forget who the true Father of our nation really is, Almighty God. Without Him, there would be no free America. General Colin Powell has summed it up with these words. He said, "These are the powerful constants in our lives, our constant devotion to the principles of freedom and democracy and free enterprise, our constant belief in the great promise of this country and that the best is still yet to come." Why? Because our country exists by the grace of divine providence. A divine providence that gave us this land and told us to be good stewards of it and good stewards of each other. This land that God has truly, truly blessed and that we are proud to call our America. Wow, how true. Oh, let us never forget that God gave us our America. Let us forever bless His name for this wonderful gift of liberty. And this is why we celebrate. This is why we gather with our families and friends on this day, fly our flags, hoop and holler and pray. And today, we're going to spend this next hour with some amazing stories of our America. And I've dug deep into our history books to find many stories you will be hearing today for the first time ever. You'll hear the story of what came to be known as the Great Locomotive Chase. It was a clever plan devised by one Union officer during our Civil War in 1862 to capture a Southern train and go on a spree of destruction of both tracks and telegraph to cut off the Southern Army's supply lines. It was a masterful plan and truly a great locomotive chase. You'll find out just what happened and what this daring scheme in history has to do with our U.S. Medal of Honor. It's a powerful story of courage and bravery and sacrifice you don't want to miss. And we all know the story of Paul Revere's famous ride in our Revolutionary War to warn the local militia that the British were coming. But did you know that there was another ride taken during the Revolutionary War to warn that the British were coming? The rider was a patriot named Jack Jouett. You say, who? Jack Jouett. His dangerous ride in 1781 might not be as famous as that of Paul Revere's, but it was just as daring, maybe even more. And get this, one of the colonists Jouett warned was Thomas Jefferson. Jack Jouett's daring ride almost surely saved Jefferson's life. You'll hear that story. And here's another story, the story of Rebecca Mott. She was a wealthy landowner during the Revolutionary War, and her home was overtaken by the British troops. An amazing part of this story, what Rebecca Mott instructed the Patriot forces to do to her home to help defeat the British Army. What she did will amaze you. Finally today, you will hear perhaps one of the most inspiring stories of courage and commitment I have ever told. It's the World War I story of Martin Treptow. He was killed during battle in that war, but on his dead body, they found something. And what they found is a powerful lesson for all Americans today to know and to be reminded of. I'm taking a break now, but before I do, how about a trivia question? What is our national bird? You say, that's easy, the bald eagle. Well, very good, but here's the second part. Why is this beautiful, majestic bird, this symbol of America, why is it called a bald eagle? Is it really bald? Of course the bald eagle is not bald. Its entire head is covered with beautiful white feathers. So where did the whole bald thing come from? Well, actually, the term bald comes from a word piebald, an old word meaning spotted white, referring to the white feathers on the eagle's head and tail. Very interesting, but why the bald eagle as our national bird? Well, American legend is that during one of the first battles of our Revolutionary War, one morning as the noise of cannons and gunfire erupted, a group of sleeping eagles were awakened, And when they flew from their nest and circled overhead, the Patriots commented that the Eagles were shrieking for freedom. The bald eagle became our national emblem in June of 1782. And since that day, the bald eagle has been a great symbol of our America's freedom and courage and strength. I'm taking a break now, but when I return, I'll tell you the story of one very dangerous and daring American event known as the Great Locomotive Chase. I'm Jerry Stewart. I'll be back with more of this special Independence Day program after these messages. As we celebrate the birthday of America, let us not forget that this great nation, America, was built on high ideals and principles and a faith in Almighty God. It was Patrick Henry who said, "I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death." And words from our Declaration of Independence say this: "We hold these truths to be evident, that all men are created equal." And Captain Nathan Hale, when he was just to be hanged, any final words? "I do, sir. I only regret that I have but one life to lose for my country. But what must we do today to keep our America alive? By following these words, these ideals and principles, and to spread the word as Patriot Americans." And if you'd like to know how you can get your own copy of this program, just call 817-995-4607 and someone in our office will assist you. You can also find out about our special offer today with this program, and you can also go to our website, which is full of stories just like you're hearing today. Just go to jerrystewartusa.com. Once again, that number is 817-995-4607, and we're looking forward to your call. Let's all do our duty and keep our America going great with our prayers. God bless you.
And now this from Northern Michigan RV.
Hi, I'm Tony Kessering from Northern Michigan RV in Galen. Get ready for a new adventure with help from Northern Michigan RV. We sell everything from pop-ups and truck campers to luxury fifth wheels, and we have everything to keep you going, including parts, full service, and even propane. And we're open year-round. Don't buy anywhere before stopping into Northern Michigan RV. Off 32 on Expressway Court behind Walgreens and Gaylord. Online at northernmichiganrv.com. Get ready for a new adventure at Northern Michigan RV.
Maybe you're looking to sell an old firearm that's been sitting around the house just collecting dust. Or maybe you've been thinking it's time to upgrade to a newer model or caliber. Either way, the place to go is Curtis Gunsmith in Petoskey. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, they buy and sell pretty much anything that goes boom when you pull the trigger. Except rocket launchers, they don't buy or sell those. So if you're looking for a new firearm or just want to sell old Betsy, you're sure to get a fair price and friendly service to boot at Curtis Gunsmith in Petoskey.
Road Trip, the Good Words Book for Success by Rick Randall, is the perfect book that will change the way that you think and will positively impact your life. 123 good words, motivational, inspirational definitions, and packed with very cool poems for each word, is a readable experience that you will visit time and time again. Available on Amazon Books and Barnes & Noble, Road Trip, Likely to Succeed, makes the perfect graduation gift. Enjoy reading Road Trip, Likely to Succeed A to Z, the Good Words Book for Success by Rick Randall.
Trucker Randy here. Let's face it, we're all getting older, but we don't have to feel the pains of getting older. Most people and even our pets have daily pain. Don't let pain slow you down. Get natural relief with CBD products from Patriots Relief. Designed by nature and trusted by millions, CBD synergistically works with your body to naturally relieve pain along with many other benefits. CBD is not marijuana and you will not get high. Vicki and I trust Patriots Relief products because they truly work. Go to their website, patriotsrelief.com, then call Tim and his family at 877-230-1776. Mention the promo code TR1 to get the biggest discounts. Again, call 877-230-1776 and mention TR1. PatriotsRelief.com.
Life is a wonderful journey, from fresh beginnings and future adventures to all the best life has to offer. Along this incredible journey, you want to safeguard what's most important to you. Hi, I'm Tristan Cole, your local Farm Bureau insurance agent, and I'm always nearby to help protect you and your loved ones along the way. Let's talk about your journey and protecting what matters most. Call me at 231-533-6489 or visit me online at TristanCole.com. We're Farm Bureau Insurance, Michigan's insurance company.
Hello and welcome back to this special Independence Day program. I'm Jerry Stewart. Now, question, are you flying your flag today? Did you know when you fly your flag, you're saying that you are proud to be an American and that you believe in our country? So many of our young people today are not being taught to respect and honor our flag, and that is of great concern to me.
Some in our America keep telling us that flying our Stars and Stripes flag is no big deal, that it's nothing but a piece of cloth. But that's wrong, and it really upsets me when people, U.S. citizens, don't even care about or respect our flag, that it really means nothing. That is wrong. Those who designed our national flag took much time and effort to give us our flag as a picture, an example for us to follow. Listen to these facts. Our flag has three colors. A blue field, which is by this color blue, sending to each of us the message that we are to always persevere, to never quit, and loving our America and standing for justice. The second color, red, is used to teach each of us to be brave, and of course signifies the blood which will be sacrificed as we fight and die for our American nation and our freedom. And the third color, white, signifies purity. That is, we are to be a good people of a great nation. Now, from time to time, I've had a few flag naysayers that have argued to me they think to use the white color is like, well, bragging that we are great. But that's not right at all. Our flag does not show our perfection, but it shows our, get this word, duty as citizens to strive every day to be a great person, to be a great nation full of good people. And whatever you remember from this patriotic program today, please do not forget that we, the people, that's all of us, are to follow the message given to us by the flag.
Now, it's hard to believe there was ever a time in our U.S. history when we as a nation were divided, but it's true. On April the 12th, 1861, our North and South states divided and we went to war. And for over 4 years, we Americans fought each other. And think about this. In our Civil War, more men died in battle than most all of our other U.S. wars combined. Very sad. And here's something most don't know. It's believed by most Americans today that our Civil War was fought over the right to have slaves. But actually, the war was more about states' rights. And believe it or not, the large majority of men who fought for the Confederacy did not even own slaves. It was a very sad time in our nation's history, and it grieved President Lincoln so much to even have the war. As I looked through the history books for a powerful story about our Civil War, I ran across one that I knew very little about. It's the story that has come to be called the Great Locomotive Chase. The year was 1862, and the Southern armies were having their way in so many of the battles that it truly appeared they might just win the war. But as so many great military strategists will tell you, the key to any army's success is keeping them fed and well supplied with the necessities of war. Plus, when the need arises for the reinforcement and restocking of fresh replacement troops, they have to be quick to get to where they are needed. Now, in the Civil War, the key to all of these needs was the railways. The South had to have good, fast, reliable railways. So, James Andrews, a civilian Union scout, proposed a daring raid aimed at destroying one part of the Southern rail system so that the Southern troops would be cut off. So this is what Andrews proposed, that he and a small group of Union volunteers pick just the right moment and capture a Southern train. Then run the train up the track all along the way, tearing up the train tracks, cutting the telegraph lines, and hopefully somehow getting away with their lives. It was a very dangerous plan that could mean death to them all, and if captured, they would surely be hanged. Andrews picked 23 volunteers to go with him, most of them Union soldiers, and they headed to a place called Big Shanty, Georgia. On the morning of April the 12th, 1862, when one train pulled up and stopped for all on board to step off and have breakfast there at the depot, when all were off the train, Andrews and his raiders boarded the locomotive. And with a few rail cars attached, they started the train down the tracks for their great getaway. Now, they had picked this particular place to hijack the train because there was no telegraph there to report the raid. As Andrews and his raiders began to pull away from the depot, you can only imagine what the passengers and railroad crew members thought. And some of the passengers were Union soldiers. So what did they do? Well, the train conductor, William Fuller, and two other men began to chase after the train, at first by foot and then by handcar. Now, it would seem that the stolen train would get far ahead, but it never really did. In those days, a train normally averaged only about 15 miles per hour, and they were traveling on a track with many hills to slow them to even a slower speed. Plus, it was the raiders' plan to stop along the way and tear up track and telegraph lines, so the pursuers were never very far behind, and the chase was on. But then, the Union pursuers caught a break. They commandeered a Union locomotive along the way, and the chase was then train to train. James Andrews and his raiders worked along the way to burn bridges, tear up track, anything to stop the pursuers. If they could just get through Chattanooga, they would be safe. But just before reaching Chattanooga, their locomotive ran out of fuel, and they had to jump the train and run for their lives. But they didn't run far. They were all captured and put on trial as spies. The leader, James Andrews, was found guilty, and on June the 7th, 1862, he was hanged. On June the 18th, seven of the others were also convicted and hanged. All of their bodies were buried unceremoniously in unmarked graves. And of the other men, some escaped before execution. Others were part of the prisoner exchange. The end to the story? The United States Congress had just established an all-new award for acts of bravery up and beyond the call of duty during war. The award? The Congressional Medal of Honor. And 19 of the 24 raiders received this Medal of Honor. But interestingly enough, James Andrews and one other civilian, William Campbell, two of the key players in this raid, both were hanged for their acts, and neither received the Medal of Honor because they were civilians. It was truly a terrible time in our nation's history, with brothers fighting against brothers.